Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Load Seaters for Monday. Monday, the 2nd of August, 2021. I'm joined by comedian and Reclaim Party member, Leo Kurtz. Oh my God.
Yeah, we spent about half an hour on how to pronounce my name.
I knew I'd mess it up. I'm really sorry.
It's pronounced Kurtz.
Kurtz. Kurtz, right. Yeah. Who's joining us to talk about, the woke Olympics, the cancelling of an American rapper, and this is a great case. And of course, what Humza Yousaf is doing, being oppressed by a nursery in Scotland. You're a fan of Humza Yousaf, aren't you?
I stood against him in the Scottish election. I didn't quite win. But I mean, it's a safe seat for Humza. He was the justice minister then, mm-hmm. and he brought through some terrible legislation, which is actually it's been passed by the parliament.
Yep.
So it's going to come into law very soon. And so it was a hate crime bill that basically, we've already got quite restrictive. I mean, the Public Order Act of 1996, is it, or 1986?
I think it's the 1986.
It's already quite draconian. So you've got people like Marion Miller being prosecuted, arrested and charged under, hate crime offences, mm-hmm. because she tweeted a picture of a suffragette ribbon. And the hate crime bill just adds to that, and it criminalizes speech in your own home.
Being asked to put the mic a bit closer if you could.
Cool.
But otherwise, it's pretty terrible. So we'll be talking about him a bit later in the podcast.
Yeah.
Right, before we begin, we've got to let people know what's on the website. So if you want to support us, you can go to loadseas.com and sign up for a mere £5 a month to get access to all of our premium content. And we've put loads up over the weekend, apparently. But before that, we've got the Worldwide Rally for Freedom coverage that we did, because no one in the media was covering this. It seemed that literally tens of thousands of people all across Britain, in various cities across Britain, went on a massive protest. And you wouldn't know if you were watching corporate media. Moving on, we also have a very interesting article by Hugo about the sort of anti-civilizational aspect of environmentalism, because there, as he points out, there's a human-centric narrative and an environment, a nature-centric narrative, and we seem to have fallen into the nature-centric narrative that essentially wants to abolish civilization, and that's something of a concern, because we live in civilization.
Civilization is patriarchal.
It is, and it's destroying the world. So we need to abolish it.
I mean, people say it's destroying the world, but I mean, I think if you go back to the Stone Age, when nature was sort of in control, everything was much worse, and people lived till they're 27 and then died from a sprained ankle.
If they were lucky.
Yeah. Or got eaten by a bear or something.
If they were lucky. Most people probably died about 5 years old.
Yeah.
So there's, Hugo makes a good point that maybe we should have human-centric environmentalism, which is a good point. The next thing we have up is the contemplations about virtue and how to cultivate virtue. And this is good because obviously I'm a big proponent of Aristotelian virtue ethics, and this is a very interesting look into it by Josh and Hugo.
And Aristotle was the first person to put pronouns in his Twitter bio. Is that right?
I believe that is correct.
Right.
Yep, that is absolutely how it works. And finally, we have the new episode of the Epochs, which was about Xerxes' army. Xerxes' very diverse, multicultural army that decided to invade Greece and burn down Athens, that everyone remembers as somehow losing the Persian War, which they didn't. They won it. It's really weird how the kind of Western narrative on the Persian invasion is like, the Spartans at Thermopylae and the Battle of Plataea and Salamis. And it's like, but they did still burn down Athens, which was literally Xerxes' only plan.
Yeah.
But in it, we go into detail about the composition of the army, because it's a really interesting thing, actually. Because like the Persian Empire contained everything to the east of Greece, basically. And so they were just like, right, we're going to raise men from all across there. So you get all these weird like national groupings coming to the army. And then like the sources at the time say like it was 1.7 million men, and everyone's like, it can't be. Mm. And we go into the details of why it might be. So it's essentially really interesting stuff. And it's my personal sort of fetish, ancient history. So I loved it. But anyway, like without any further ado, let's get into the Woke Olympics, which is currently going on right now, in fact, isn't it? And so the Woke Olympics has been pretty much the name of the game. It's just about wokeism now. I don't know anything else about the Olympics other than the gender makeup and sexuality of the competitors. I have no idea if anyone's any good.
Like, well, it's got the first two transgender athletes at the Olympics. So one of them's just crashed out.
I was going to save that towards the end of the segment.
Oh, really?
Spoilers,
oh,
no, never mind.
A spoiler.
That's all right.
A spoiler.
Yeah.
So yeah, Laurel Hubbard, who actually transitioned. She transitioned quite late in life. She transitioned at the age of 35 after competing as a male.
Yeah.
So she had all the benefits of having testosterone. It's like a female competitor, like mm-hmm. juicing all those years. So that, you know, the bigger skeleton, the bigger frame, and greater
muscles,
strength,
things like that.
Stronger muscles and everything, and transitioned to the age of 35. So didn't just go through male puberty, went through like male middle age, and has like you know what I guess we'd have to call female pattern baldness. So
I guess we are going to have to call it that, yeah.
So we can see why there's some controversy. She and the woman she displaced, mm-hmm. Who would have competed if Laurel hadn't taken her place in the team, was the 21-year-old
Samoan,
yeah, woman of color, which I mean, I'm surprised. You know, the woke is like the really. It's interesting to see in the woke hierarchy who's higher than who.
The transgenders appear to be right at the top,
right
don't
at the
they?
Top.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So indigenous women of color.
Yeah.
Tough luck.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, you're higher than a 50-year-old white man from like Clerkenwell or something, but you're not. As high as the trend.
But if he decides to put on a dress,
yeah,
you know, should have thought about that before being born female, I suppose. But anyway, so look, the Pink News, Gay Times coverage of this was great. Not this one, that one, yep. This is brilliant. So would you like to know who has the gayest team?
I would.
Why not? Why would we talk about anything
else
about the Olympics?
It's not Saudi Arabia.
No, not this year. Maybe next year. So the British team has 13 openly LGBTQ+ athletes, which is actually deeply inferior to the rest of the English-speaking world. Canada has 33. The Netherlands has 20. But Team USA is the gayest team on earth with 47.
Whoa.
Openly gay or lesbian or bisexual or trans or queer or whatever the plus means.
Well, yeah, because I mean the thing is, there's so many letters in that acronym now. Everybody is, you know, is one of them. And and I see it on Facebook. There's comedians who, you know, come out. They say, "Oh, I'm coming out as bisexual or queer or whatever."
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I've never actually had sex with somebody of the same sex or been attracted to them, but I still identify as you know. And
I've been married to my wife for 35 years, but I am bisexual.
Yeah,
you know?
I just haven't actually done it. And I've got no respect for that. You know, I think, you know, if you can suck a dick, then, like, you know, I'll listen to your point of view. But if you're just doing it to, like, you know, try and be special and try and get some extra, you know, special little letters in your Twitter bio, I've got no time
it
for
is,
that.
It is about clout, isn't it? Mm. That's the thing. It is about clout. And speaking of clout, the British state media decided that if you said something on social media they don't like, they're going to block you. Do you want to get blocked on Twitter by BBC?
The BBC can block you.
Apparently. This is literally what they say. Can we get up one of those images so we can see the text more clearly? BBC Sport, we want our platforms to be a respectful place for discussion, constructive criticism, debate and opinion. We know the vast majority of our followers want that too, which is probably unlikely, especially on Twitter. So here's our stance. We will block people bringing hate to our comment sections. We will report the most serious cases to the relevant authorities. We will make our accounts kind and respectful places. We will keep growing our coverage. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, the BBC are literally going to block you and report you to the authorities if you reply with things they don't like. So if you're in America, where you can say whatever you like, please be my guest. You know, please speak for the rest of us because we're literally not allowed.
I'm surprised the BBC don't have hate crime detector vans going around like they do for the TV license detector.
Well, thank you for giving them that idea.
They'll try it in Scotland first.
They will, and the SNP will definitely back it. But anyway, yeah, so the controversial person here is, of course, Laurel Hubbard, because this person gained a lot of attention. Now, this was criticised. Her allowance into this was criticised because this is the first Olympics where the guidelines have allowed openly transgender people to compete in the... Well, it's really just the male-to-female one that matters because for some reason the female-to-male transgender Olympians aren't smashing all the men's world records.
No.
Really bizarre. Don't know why that is.
I don't know where she got her gender transition done, but it says there she's got a 135-kilogram snatch. That's got to be one of the larger ones.
I don't know what that means. I understand that might be a technical term.
It snatches when you. I think it's the snatch is the first bit, and then the clean, and then the jerk.
Right.
Okay. Or no, the jerk's this bit, isn't it?
I don't know.
No, the snatch has got to be that, but I don't know either. Right. I don't know either. But I was just trying to make a joke.
No, but just before we get deplatformed from everywhere, that is actually a thing, though, isn't it? That is, you know,
it's a weightlifting term.
It's actually
yeah.
a weightlifting term, yeah. It's just really funny.
And it's also a word for your fanny.
It is. Anyway, so this contestant, Laurel, has been destroying women. Based. If we can go to the next one, just to see the picture. This is in 2019, where she won gold at the Pacific Games. Stunning and brave. We can scroll down a bit just so we can see the absolutely crushed faces of the poor ladies that she had defeated. If we go down a little bit more, I think there's a picture in here. There we go. Right. So you can look. I mean, just look at that. Just
don't look happy. Just,
oh God. I honestly, I feel bad for these women. I feel so bad. Yeah, look at their faces. You know, all this disappointment, and then someone who was born male just came in and, yep, I'll have all the golds.
And the irony is that there are women who are born female who are disqualified from competing at the Olympic Games because they have naturally high levels of testosterone. So Caster Semenya, a fantastic athlete, you know, born female, lived as a woman, identifies as a woman, can't compete. And it seems bizarre because the whole, like, the Olympics is predicated on people having exceptional natural abilities. So if you have exceptionally high, you know, naturally occurring testosterone, that should be allowed, I'd have thought.
Why
certainly allowed more than, you know, being a, you know, man and then saying, no, I'm a woman, and then
I transitioned at 35, therefore I'm the authentic woman, but you who have got slightly high natural testosterone, you are not a woman.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to compete. It's deeply unfair.
Yeah.
It's obviously unfair.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And I don't think it's bigoted to say that.
Well,
and also,
I mean, if it is, we're in trouble, aren't we?
I think it's actually bigoted itself because it stirs up resentment and quite unfair resentment against normal transgender people who, you know, don't want to take gold medals away from women, who just want to live in society and
just be left alone,
and just be left alone, and you know, not have it pointed out.
No, I totally agree. And the thing is, like, this is also a meme. If we can get to the next one. There we go. This is literally from South Park.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally what's happening here. And so it turns out that we have symbols of resistance that spring from this. We can get to the next one. Oh, it's not the next one, actually. Never mind. It's fine. Anyway, let's... sorry, don't worry about it. I must put them on afterwards. So anyway, the International Olympic Committee have decided they're going to defend this. And so these guidelines were updated in 2015 that currently state that trans women can compete in the women's category, as you were saying, if they keep their testosterone level below 10 nanomoles per liter for 12 months. How is that done?
And obviously you only get... So they take hormones or hormone blockers that bring the levels of testosterone down.
So the female athletes who are exceptional at the sport have to dope themselves
down. So that's the trans athletes. I'm not sure how female...
Well, no, it's...
I'm not sure how you know, she'd get around the restrictions.
Right,
And I know some events do allow her to compete.
Right, okay.
But the Olympics don't.
Right, okay. But the thing is, you've got to understand, these guidelines are actually transphobic.
Yeah.
And need to go. The complaint here from Dr. Richard Budget has admitted that the guidelines are apparently no longer backed by science. So according to The Guardian, he said, I accept that things move on. At the time, 10 nanomoles per litre was set because we thought that was the lower level for cisgender men. We now know they can go down to 7 nanomoles per litre, and cisgender women can be higher as well. And agreeing on another number is almost impossible and possibly irrelevant.
Yeah.
You can debate that endlessly. So basically, they're going to get rid of these.
Right, yeah. And also testing these, I mean, the actual framework and process for testing and making sure that people are below the levels, because if people take steroids, there's a time when the steroids can leave your system, and then you test negative. So a lot of athletes do dope, inject steroids or whatever, and then have a period of being clean and then test negative.
Yeah.
But if it's naturally occurring, how would you test, you know, if you... like had 6 months with higher natural testosterone and then brought yourself back down, how would anybody prove that?
I guess you were just born wrong. It's a real shame there isn't a movement for inclusivity that would allow you to be the person you authentically are. It's a real shame, isn't it? But yeah, anyway, so basically it looks like they're going to get rid of that. But anyway, moving on. The TERFs. How do you feel about the TERFs?
The TERFs. I mean, I think it's quite a derogatory term. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of, the people who are branded TERFs. I mean, it's interesting how wokeness moves on. And people who would have been considered woke just a couple of years ago are now considered the demon,
right,
the enemy.
Right-wing, evil TERFs. Yeah.
Like so many people. Jermaine Greer, J.K. Rowling. All these people who are, considered. When I was growing up, they were the lefty firebrands.
Oh my God, Jermaine Greer was basically a lunatic all through the sort of 90s and 2000s, and now she's a far-right activist.
Yeah. She's somehow managed to, like, by standing in the same place, she's managed to transfer all the way to the far right.
I mean, I began my career criticizing literally people like Jermaine Greer for their absurd takes on gender relations, and now I'm like, so Jermaine Greer did nothing wrong. she believes that a woman is adult human female, and therefore I'm somehow on her side. It's mad. I've been told to flatten the hair on my left. I'm not doing it. My hair can stay up. I'm fine with my hair. I ride a bike into work every day, and so like the helmet like makes my hair stick up. I can't do anything about it. But anyway, so the poor old TERFs, and I'm loath to use the term, they call themselves gender critical feminists, are obviously saying that, look, this position that Laurel Hubbard is competing in should have been one of those ladies that she destroyed in 2019. Mm. And that's not fair. And I can't help but agree. If we can go to the next one a second, sorry. This is just... You see the physical difference between the teams that someone has pointed out.
I can't
out.
See any difference. The only difference I can see is the ones on the left identify as men.
Yep.
And the ones on the right identify as women.
Well, I didn't check their pronouns.
Oh, well, yeah.
So you might be incredibly transphobic by saying that. But the thing is just, a regular person intuitively can see that there is a physical difference between these people.
It's common sense.
You don't need theory to prove
it. But a lot of transgender people are very gender critical as well. I dated a transgender woman, like a super hot one. And she's quite gender critical. She believes there's only two genders. Mm-hmm. And also, I think a lot of transgender people feel that the transgender people who aren't making an effort aren't,
they're kind of taking the piss,
they're kind of taking the piss, which I can see as well. A lot of transgender people put a huge amount of effort in, have surgeries and hormones and really make themselves pass as their chosen gender, and I've got massive respect for that. I think if they want to put the effort in, they've got more right to that gender than I do. I was just born with a dick and I ran with it, my hand for a bit.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because I guess we're going to have to refer to these as the right-wing transgender people. But they're not here to overthrow the concept of gender. They're like, well, I'd actually just like people to treat me like that. And it's like, okay, well, fine. If you're going to put in a load of effort, I'm not going to be a dick about it. I'll be polite and, call you she or he or whatever, whatever you've made the effort to do so. But then when you get like the people like Laurel Hubbard who don't seem to have made any effort.
Like UFC fighters going in and like crushing the skulls of opponents. I mean, it must be a great time
Fallon
to be
Fox, right?
Like, yeah, it must be a great time to be a misogynist, because you can literally cheer on a biological male smashing up a woman, and you're being the woke progressive. You're being the good person.
That's unironically what's happening. That's unironically that's actually what the TERFs are complaining about. So honestly, I kind of think they've got a point.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, when biologically male people are cracking the skulls of women in the arena, I'm like, okay, maybe we need to have a talk.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I've been told I hate women a lot, but even I have limits. But the thing about this, and I find this really interesting, is that they will have no opposition to the narrative.
Yeah. Right?
So there was a petition started for people saying, well, look, can we please have biologically male people competing in men's sports. And the petition got 30,000 signatures, and the petition was then deplatformed.
The people hosting the petition took it down because they said it. And that's shocking, because obviously a lot of
hate
people...
speech as well.
Yeah, it's not hate speech. It's got to be open debate. Like, open debate. This is the thing we see with the woke. Any sort of questions are seen as criticism, and any sort of debate is seen as hate speech. Yeah. So it stifles and silences, you know, really necessary debate. If we're talking about, you know, biological males competing against women in contact sports or at the Olympics, or if we're talking about putting puberty blockers and hormones into children, like, we're storing up some problems for the future.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think, you know, in 10 years' time, 20 years' time, we're going to have an issue with people who are sort of led into transitioning. Because 86% of children who, you know, think they might be trans or display, you know, signs of being trans, revert to their biological gender. And, you know what it's like when kids aren't sort of sexualized and, you know, don't know what your gender is. You can play with dolls. Like, one of my mates played with a Barbie when he was a kid. Like, his dad didn't yank him by the arm and take him down the gender transition clinic. We should just let kids be kids.
That's right. Chop.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, it literally happens. There's a kid in America. I can't remember his name, but he was on a documentary about it. And so he, like, on his first visit to the gender transition clinic, he was given a prescription for hormones, and it was like his third visit they booked him in for surgery. You know, a teenage boy, and like now
surgery, like, after three visits.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd fact check that, but I'm pretty sure.
I've heard other stories like that as well, and it's, and like, have you ever read any of the detransitioning stories?
Yeah,
like the regret stories.
And yeah.
Like, oh my God, there's nothing more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, and so all I'm saying is we better be pretty sure that we're right about all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, we're going to have a lot of people who are going to be like, "Ow, that really betrayed me, and you know, that ruined my life."
Yeah. And what woke progressives don't seem to realize is that what is considered the correct values and the correct belief system is progressing. Mm. That's why they're called progressives. So how can they be so certain that we've suddenly arrived at this one point where everything's perfect? When I know for a fact next week there's going to be a whole new bunch of pronouns. There's going to be a whole new, like, identity at the top of the oppression pyramid. Yeah. It's all going to change again.
That's a great point. It's a revolutionary paradigm, isn't it? The entire paradigm is built around constant change.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and go, "Yeah, no, it's definitely like this."
Yeah.
With any kind of certitude. That's a really good point. I hadn't framed it that way. It's great. Anyway, so this is NBC News, who want to talk about the female athletes, which I find is a very interesting way of framing it, because how would you know? Because, you know, you're not bigots, are you? But there's one Costa Rican gymnast who seems to have been picked out as the person who is presenting the, I was going to say theology, and now I've said it, I feel it's actually the correct word, the theology of the left on this. So this is Luciana Alvarado, who she carried the torch of protesting racial equality in Tokyo. She is a gymnast, and she did her routine and then took the knee, placing her left hand behind her back and raising her fist into the air, saying, "We're all the same, we're all beautiful and amazing." It's actually not the purpose of the Olympics, as I understand it.
Yeah, isn't it to find out who's best?
Yeah, exactly. Who's most remarkable and not the same as the other people. And that's what she's competing for. But this is the theory that lies underneath it. And I just find this really interesting. But this is the first year that political and social demonstrations in the Olympics have been allowed.
Right.
And so, basically, I'm kind of expecting Eastern Europe to do something edgy.
To burn a pride flag or something.
Yeah. Or I mean, like the 36 Olympics, the football in 36, where the England team did the Nazi salute. Well, I'm kind of expecting things like that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
this time, next time.
This is the danger. If you open the door to political, like statements, then that's what you're going to get. And I just think sports people should be left to focus on the sport. It's like all these gender studies students on Twitter were criticizing Tyson Fury for his opinions on, you know, homosexuality and gender and women and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but, like, you know, you're a gender studies student. You've spent 4 years perfecting your opinions on gender and women and stuff. Yeah. Tyson Fury spends all his time perfecting punching people in the head. And he's really good at punching people in the head. So why aren't you getting any shit for being bad at punching people in the head?
That's a great point. And why are you taking him as some sort of moral authority on gender studies?
Yeah.
You know, why are you treating him as if his opinion on that matters? It affects you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so anyway, the activism continued at the Olympics with Gwendolyn Berry, who decided to compete with the US and then turn away from the flag after she lost. Mm. This was obvious sort of, you know, like genuine sort of anti-patriotism. Mm. That's really weird, but she decided, screw that. Is that okay? She literally said, "My purpose and mission is bigger than sports. I'm here to represent those who died due to systemic racism." Actually, I think you were there to represent the United States in the Olympics.
Yeah.
But what do I know, you know?
I mean, it's so weird. It's like having a politician who then, like, you know, instead of doing a political speech, does, you know, four laps of the track or something. It's, you know, just...
Actually, no, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Come on, Keir.
Yeah, there is actually a refugee. I think I'm right in saying this. There's a refugee. If you're from a country that mm-hmm. You can't represent because they're a dictatorship or something, you can then take part in the sort of exile refugee.
Really?
There's a group of athletes.
I did not know that.
I'm sure that's true, and I didn't just make it up.
Well, they'll be nice to know that they've got a new symbol, in fact. We can get to the next one. This is Raven Saunders, who protested by putting her hands up in a cross, as if, you know, the sort of thing you'd do to a prisoner, it seems. And so when asked what this symbol means, this X, they responded, "It's the intersection of where all people who are oppressed meet." So that is the general symbol of oppression. Crossing your arms now.
Intersectionality.
Yes. The intersection of just being oppressed. So anyway, this at least got some response from people like Bill Maher, who's like the last good liberal on the left. Don't turn the Olympics into the Oscars. Too late. Far too late. And yeah, so that's pretty...
And it's affecting their viewing figures. So it's the lowest. Massive. It's got the lowest viewing figures since the invention of television, I believe.
Just like the Oscars.
Yeah.
Just like the Oscars.
And just like the NFL, the NBA, like everything that goes woke, you know, goes people. Even though people might ostensibly on Twitter support it, secretly they think it's rubbish.
Twitter isn't real life. Doesn't represent what a person wants to do with their afternoon.
People really need to learn. Like, I've never understood why companies and people cave into Twitter mobs so much when it's just, you know, you wouldn't go walk down Woolwich High Street and see like the crazy guy with the sandwich board saying the end of the world is nigh, and like be like, "Oh my god, this guy, we've got to listen to what this guy says. He's shouting really loud."
Yeah.
You know, although actually now, you know, people would say, "Well, he's an environmentalist." So
that's what they would say. Yeah, yeah. He would doubtless have a green party.
Death cult.
Oh god.
Yeah, another couple of political statements at the Olympics were athletes refusing to compete against Israel.
I forgot all about that.
So there's an Algerian athlete. So they were both I think disqualified and sent home from the games. There's an Algerian athlete and a Sudanese athlete who refused to compete against Israel. But I don't know whether they could have taken it as an opportunity to reenact the Six-Day War and get all the athletes who didn't want to compete against Israel to try and compete against Israel at the same time and then get totally beaten.
Yeah, that's a good point. There was an Iranian refugee who dedicated his award to Israel. Because he was a refugee from Iran, and so he dedicated his medal to Israel. It's, oh my god,
that's interesting. No, I respect that, because I mean that's a bold move as well. Because Iran,
I love a bold move.
Like executes people and stuff, and it's like the Belarus as well. We've got a lot of these dictatorships where people are using the games as an opportunity to defect.
Yeah.
So there's a Belarusian athlete who tried to defect this morning in Tokyo, ran to the police. But yeah, I was going to say something else about. no, I can't remember what it was.
There we go. We'll move on to the next one. Right. So there is a rapper in the US called DaBaby. Now
DaBaby.
I don't know why a grown man has that name, but it doesn't seem to be unusual. Everyone is just acting like this is a totally normal name for this guy to have. And in fact, the controversy surrounding this person is not his name or the things that he's rapping about. It's the fact that he said something about gay people and HIV. You can imagine where this went. So he was doing a festival called the third day of the Rolling Loud 2021 festival in Miami on July the 25th. And between songs, he got up on the stage and said, and I'm going to have to censor some of the things I'm going to say here. This is a very important song to me because, you know, baby don't politic. I'm a real N. I be on that cash S. He also said, if you didn't show up today with HIV, AIDS, or any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases that'll make you die in 2 or 3 weeks, then put your cell phone lighter up. So, you know, he said, ladies, if your vagina smells like water, put your cell phone lighter up. Fellas, if you ain't sucking D in the parking lot, put your cell phone lighter up. He got cancelled, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I can believe that. Even though that would be completely standard for, you know, the 90s.
Oh, yeah. God bless the 90s. Yeah. So what do you make of that?
I know what he means about the Evian. Like, the best flavour of pussy is Evian. But yeah, I mean, I can sort of... That's a bold move. It's also kind of outmoded because, I mean, HIV hasn't been a deadly disease for some time now. You don't die in like 3 weeks. I mean, obviously, no. There's, you know, it's a long term thing, and you might, you know, have your life shortened, but it's a manageable condition now.
It is.
So I think it's like he's stepped out. He's stepped into like a wardrobe in 1992, and then stepped out now and just cancelled himself.
It's so wild, and I mean, the thing is, I can see why he's trying to raise awareness, because this is a genuine issue, right? So, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States, in 2018, gay and bisexual men made up 69% of the 37,000 new HIV diagnoses in the United States, and approximately 492,000 sexually active gay and bisexual men are at high risk for HIV. So, it's not that there isn't a problem, and diagnoses among the black community are the highest as well, as you can see from the stats there. They actually have the largest share of the number of people diagnosed with HIV. So this is a problem within the black community. It's not that he's just speaking to nothing. You know, there is an issue here.
So, but do you think he was really trying to raise awareness of HIV amongst the black community?
No, well, it sounded like he was. Like,
if your pussy smells like water.
Okay, well that not so much. But the other part, yes, I think he actually is identifying something that it affects probably friends and family members of his, right? It's just that he seems to have forgotten that, well, the internet exists and it's run by leftists.
I mean, it's also interesting the difference like COVID is treated with compared with HIV.
Oh yeah,
because
absolutely.
COVID is seen as, you know, if you're not following all these restrictions, you're an evil person.
Yeah.
You're risking the community. You're spreading it and stuff. Whereas with HIV, people are much more sort of standoffish. You know, there's no sort of nobody going around doing mandatory condom checks or anything like that.
No, I mean, California recently decriminalized giving someone intentionally HIV.
Really, right?
So that's no longer a crime.
Right.
It's like, okay, but it is still a deadly disease.
But if you don't wear a face mask on the bus, then you're going to jail.
Well, yeah, literally. But anyway, so apparently 1 in 6 gay and bisexual men with HIV aren't even aware they have it. And things like this. So it is a real problem in the gay community, and disproportionately is affecting the black community in the United States. So for DaBaby to come out and say something about it, it's a real issue. But anyway.
So do you think he'll come back from this cancellation?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Because it's interesting that
Do you want to hear how he defended himself?
Yeah, oh yeah, I definitely want to hear this.
I mean, this is just gold. Obviously, this all kicked off on Twitter, right? And so he took to Twitter to say this. What me and my fans do at a live show, it doesn't concern you N-words on the internet or any of you bitter bitches on the internet. It's not your business what I do at a live show for the audience at the live show. It'll never translate correctly to someone looking at a little 5-second clip from their goddamn crib on their phone. That's a brilliant response.
That's a pretty good point, because the same thing happens in comedy. You see comedians getting cancelled for, like, you know, somebody tweets a, you know, 20-second clip of them in a club, and you don't have the whole context. You don't know if they're doing a callback to something that somebody else did or said beforehand, which is often, you know, when it happens, they're doing an ironic, you know, ironically mocking or referring to something that previously happened in the club. And, you know, you don't, unless you're there in the club, you don't know how that, like, comedy is one of these things. I've never understood why people seek to police it and cancel comedians, because we're already performing in front of a jury who, you know, if we say anything that's genuinely sexist and racist and homophobic and all the rest of it, people won't laugh because that's horrible, you know? Yeah. So we don't need extra policing. And all it does is makes comedians self-censor more. So they, you know, they stay safely away from the boundaries, from the edge where all the funny happens.
But even then, I actually, like, you always hear the sort of, oh, there's no place for racism in society. I always think, well, yeah, there is. And it's in a comedy club, actually, you know, with making fun of it. You know, so the comedian gets up, he says something that is racist, so that people will laugh at him for deliberately going outside of the bounds of what is reasonable.
Yeah.
You know? And so that, and that's funny. And the, it's like, okay, so we define racism as something we laugh at. You know, we're so against racism. Racism itself is just something that someone does to make themselves look bad on purpose. You know?
Yeah.
And that's where it belongs, because then it's not in real life. You know?
Yeah.
Then it's you know, quartered off. But anyway, let's get back to what DaBaby was saying. He says, I wasn't going on a rant. That's called a call to action. That's what it's called, because I'm a live performer. I'm the best live performer. He's like the Donald Trump of the rap world. You interact with your fans. You get what I'm saying? All the lights went up, gay or straight. You want to know why? Because even my gay fans don't got effing AIDS, stupid ass N-words. They don't got AIDS, my gay fans. They take care of themselves. They ain't got no nasty gay N's. They ain't no junkies.
I mean, that's a pretty compelling argument.
I agree. Yeah. I like it when people stand their ground.
Yeah, yeah. Also, man, like, when people riff, when people go, you know, speak, you know, this stream of consciousness stuff, I think they should be cut some slack.
I agree.
Because they're not, it's not like they've prepared it and then given it as a speech.
This wasn't my thesis.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like he says much that's going to be different from that, but, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look forward to... I mean, he continues. He's not done yet, right?
Amazing.
He says, I say, if you don't suck dick in the parking lot, put your cell phone light up. And you know what my gay fans did? They put their mother effing lights up. Because my gay fans, they ain't going for that. They got class.
Good to hear it.
They ain't sucking no dick in no parking lot. You got to get a room. Good one, 5-star hotel for night.
Well, this is surely progress.
I mean,
a homophobe in the 80s wouldn't have said, listen, gay sex is all right if you do it in a 5-star hotel. No, no travelodge, but a 5-star hotel.
I just like the standards, you know?
Yeah.
And he literally says that, you know, we ain't just going for nothing. Even my gay fans got standards. You're N-words tripping. You're bringing negative attention, any energy upon yourselves. And the ones that's doing it are the ones who didn't even attend the show, so this S doesn't concern you all. This went down like an absolute lead balloon, if you're wondering.
did people not like it? Didn't Chelsea Clinton retweet it?
They didn't consider that maybe he had a point about standards. They freaked out, and literally within days he was being dropped by his brands. So he was partnered with...
I need to see the bottom of this picture, because it... Oh, right. Okay.
Thank God, yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was actually doing something that he would then later criticize himself.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, he's not in a 5-star hotel, so... But Boohoo Man, which is apparently in a clothing company, they released a 100-piece collection with him, and then they said, actually, we're going to drop him because we stand and support the LGBT plus community and do not tolerate any hate speech or discrimination in any form. He's not anti-gay. He's anti-sucking dick in parking lots. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, he's pro-sucking dick in a 5-star hotel.
Exactly. But yeah, no, he got dropped. He also got disavowed by his friends. I don't know who any of these people are, by the way. So Dua Lipa, who previously worked with him, says she's surprised and horrified at her friend's comments because she believes in sucking dick in parking lots. And she wrote in her Instagram story that she didn't recognize this as the person I worked with and stood 100% with the LGBT community. Right. They can't just go indoors. We need to come together to fight the stigma around and ignorance around HIV and AIDS. This is lovely. Of course, he was attacked by Elton John.
Right.
Why not? Now all of the luminaries of the music world are turning on him. Again, I don't know who this guy is, but, you know. Elton John said, we've been shocked to read about the HIV misinformation and homophobic statements made by DaBaby at his show. This fuels stigma and discrimination is the opposite of what our world needs to fight the AIDS epidemic.
I wonder if he'll come back, though, because when people get cancelled now, because people have the direct relationship with the fans, they're not as dependent. Like, if an agent drops a comedian or, you know, venues cancel a tour, like, the comedian can, or the artist, the musician can find ways around that, you know.
I mean, even if Andrew Lawrence style, you know.
So they can have a Patreon, and they can do, you know, videos on YouTube direct for the fans.
Yeah.
So I think, I wonder if it's actually going to fully cancel DaBaby. I mean, obviously it's going to cost him, because, you know, I think Boohoo Man would have been giving him lots of money for,
doubtless,
for the clothes.
Doubtless, you know, doubtless. But it's going to have cost him a lot of money, but that's the point, isn't it? He'll probably survive.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got attacked by Madonna, because why not?
Yeah.
Due to his homophobic rant. She says, if you're going to make hateful remarks to the LGBT plus community about HIV/AIDS, then know your facts. After decades of hard-won scientific... I love we're getting a science lecture from Madonna.
From Madonna. Yeah, why are people expecting... Like, I would never look to DaBaby for the latest science on HIV. I know that, like, it's like reading the sun. It's like you filter it. When it goes in, it's entertainment. You don't take it as gospel.
Sure, but I did need to know what kind of hotel that I needed to have. So, I mean, yeah, he does have some authority.
And I agree with the pussy smelling like water thing.
Yeah, you can't argue with that as well. Anyway, after decades of hard-won scientific research, there are life-saving medicines available to children born with HIV and people who contract it through blood transfusions, dirty needles, or exchange of bodily fluids. These new antiretrovirals can keep a person with AIDS alive for the rest of their lives. They keep them alive for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, everyone stays alive for the rest of their lives. That's how lives work. But also, she's spreading misinformation here as well, because she's saying AIDS is not transmitted. A person with AIDS can be healthy. AIDS isn't the virus. The virus is HIV. Yeah. AIDS is the
syndrome.
The syndrome it causes, the disease it causes.
Yeah.
So you can have HIV and not have AIDS.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think Hollywood is sending their best here. but AIDS is not transmitted by standing next to someone in the crowd. Well, no one thinks that it is. She also rejected his sexist remarks and said, presumably against the smell of a woman's vagina, discrimination against women who fight daily against the oppression of living under the constraints of the male gaze. I find that highly ironic coming from Madonna.
And when she says male gaze, it's G-A-Z-E.
Yes.
Yeah.
The wrong kind of gaze.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, isn't that just highly ironic coming from Madonna? Do you remember what her videos were like in the 80s?
Yeah.
The 90s?
I'm pretty sure I got chlamydia from watching one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Male gaze, the gall on Madonna complaining about that when that was her entire bloody career.
Yeah.
You know, shut up. You know, oh, God. But anyway, people like you, DaBaby, are the reason that we're still living in a world divided by fear. That's right, it's your fault.
Mm.
Madonna is going to put this all on you.
And it's interesting language she uses. She's sort of othering a section of society there. People like you.
Oh, yeah.
So she's black that. Men. I don't consider that to be... Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the sort of undertone there. So Madonna's a racist.
I agree. Cancel Madonna.
I think we should cancel it.
Finally. But the thing is, this just kept spiraling out of control. Because, I mean, he may be homophobic and misogynist, but he's also transphobic. Somehow.
Where did he...
Nothing.
Oh, it's just inextricably linked.
Yeah,
linked.
The Laverne Cox. I don't really know.
Deftly explains.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now he's done all this. The intersectional links between homophobia, transphobia, and misogyny, right? So the victim just needs to represent the feminine in the mind of the perpetrator. I don't know if that's what he was thinking. Like, I don't think he was thinking the gay men are feminine. Anyway, and so what this reminded me of is something I've always intrinsically known. The relationship between homophobia, transphobia, and misogyny are inextricably linked. If we look at the incident with the artist I won't name, obviously referring to DaBaby, I think we all know who I'm talking about. In the same performance, he made anti-gay statements against people living with HIV, and there was also misogyny. There were also comments about women's body parts, and he brought out a man who was accused of assaulting a woman. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty, but in the same performance where his musical artist spewed deeply troubling homophobic and anti-HIV comments, I love the way it's anti-HIV. Anti-HIV. Oh, no, sorry, I'm pro-HIV. I don't know what you're talking about. I would never be anti-HIV.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Are you allowed to be anti-COVID?
God only knows at this point. There is also the misogyny of language used around the women's body parts and standing accused and not convicted of shooting a black woman. So we have the intersection of homophobia, misogyny, and misogynoir.
And also shooting a black woman.
Well, that's an accusation that's apparently someone else on the stage is having leveled against them. I don't know whether that's true. But the point is, DaBaby is all kinds of bad. in every single way.
But aren't rock stars or, you know, music stars, aren't they supposed to be bad?
Not anymore.
Like Johnny Cash, all the, you know...
All of my heroes were pieces of...
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, nobody looks to Motley Crue for spiritual, you know... Yeah, yeah. Actually, I kind of do. But yeah, Motley Crue, like, you know, the guy killed someone in a car crash.
I mean, that was the fun about reading about rock stars, right?
Yeah,
is they did crazy things you would never do.
And you'd be like, horrific things.
Yeah, wow, that's mad.
Treated people awfully.
Yeah, and like smashed up hotel rooms and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, wow, that's...
And had the most idiotic ideas. Yeah. They're all into like Satan or whatever it was.
Yeah, and they were meant to actually kind of be like the example you didn't follow.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
don't be like this. You know, it's like, oh, good, I'm glad that exists.
Yeah, now they've got to be perfectly groomed Harvard gender studies graduates.
Yeah, exactly, actually. They're not allowed to just speak off the cuff. But anyway, so after all of this, DaBaby decided to apologize, which, as anyone who has followed any of this for any amount of time will know, it's not going to work. They don't care. They've already condemned you to being the worst person on earth. He tweeted out, anyone who done ever been affected, like, oh my God. And that's an affected with an E, not affected.
Is his PR company run by the Dukes of Hazzard? Because this sounds like some Boss Hog would say.
It does. It actually does. So anyone who done ever been affected by AIDS, HIV, you all got the right to be upset. What I said was insensitive, even though I have no intentions on offending anybody, so my apologies. But the LGBT community, I love the but there. But. Love a good but. But the LGBT community, I ain't tripping on y'all. You do you. Your business is your business. Mm. Yeah, so breaking dispatches from the Dukes of Hazzard there. But this didn't help anyway because he kept getting dropped. So he's being dropped by all the festivals now. So this is a Parklife Festival in Manchester. Dropped him because, you know.
But I wonder who else is on, who's performing on that festival, who's, you know, said equally terrible things in the 90s or whatever, and is still working.
That's a great point. And basically, the Eye of Sauron on Twitter, when they discover it, then they'll get cancelled. Yeah. And that's how it works. Also by Lollapalooza, you know, that famous safe space where all of the kind, polite, and very mainstream performers go. He was dropped on this because apparently Lollapalooza was founded on diversity, inclusivity, respect, and love. With that in mind, DaBaby will no longer be performing. Bad luck.
Yeah.
I think he's an absolute hero for just coming out and being like, nah, get fucked.
I do like how he, you know, his first, he was obviously still on some sort of cocaine high when he made his follow-up statements. He's like, nah, I meant it, come on. Get that, you suck dick in a parking lot and all this. You know, it's all right if you do it at a 5-star hotel. And then he like sobers up in the morning. He's like, oh my God, maybe I should apologize.
Like, I always appreciate anyone who doubles down on their rants.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, apologizing never makes it go away. Never. If anything, it draws more attention to the. You know,
and then they start picking apart the apology, don't they?
Yeah.
Be like, you didn't really mean this. Ah, you know, you're only doing it because you're being cancelled.
Yeah. And the apology, the way it's worded, shows, you know, patriarchal tones and systemic racism.
Oh, trans misogynoir coming from. Oh, God. You know, just kill me now. Anyway. So, Humza Yousaf is being oppressed by a children's nursery in Scotland. This nursery is racist, and Humza can prove it.
I was really hoping you were going to say he identifies as a 4-year-old and they won't let him join.
I don't know that that's not true. But Humza Yousaf has accused the nursery of discrimination, according to the Scottish Sun. See, we went out of our way to find a story that would be relevant to your interests here. Your best buddy, Humza, has decided to complain to Watchdogs after the nursery said it had no space for 3 kids who had ethnic names. They didn't say it quite like that. They weren't like, your ethnic children can't come here. But responding to the fake inquiries, I'll skip that actually. So Yousaf had made a complaint with the care inspectorate calling for an explanation of the different answers he got from the Little Scholars Nursery in Broughty Ferry. He is now wanting an answer from the watchdog on whether there has been discrimination over ethnicity or religion, which the nursery of course denies. Yousaf told the Daily Record, Nadia and I really want an explanation why there are such contrasting responses to the email sent from ethnic and white Scottish sounding names. So this is really interesting. So basically Humza applied to this nursery and they said no, go away. He applied again. They said, no, go away. We haven't got any spaces. And then he set up catfish accounts that were meant to look like white Scots. And they said, yes, come on in. It's like, okay. that does look a bit sus, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, if this is true, and, you know, if this, because, I mean, people in the past have faked things like this, like, look at Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd rather this was done in a sort of, you know, a scientific way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at face value, it looks terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. And he says, despite being given plenty of opportunity to clarify their position, the nursery has refused to explain the differing email responses. We actually have a file photo of the nursery responding. We can get the next link up. There we go. No one gets that joke. Don't worry. I've been on the internet too much. Let's go back to the article.
I don't get it.
There's a meme that's on the internet, and you basically walk into a conversation, say something highly controversial, refuse to elaborate, and leave. And that's the picture it always comes with. It's brilliant. Right. But anyway, never mind. I'm the only one who appreciates that joke. We'll move on. So, shut up. Oh, good. That's how jokes work, isn't it? You know, jokes are most funny after you explain them. So anyway, I find it disturbing, and consequently, I have turned to the care inspectorate to get answers. So Hamza Yusuf is now in a race row with the nursery.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's in a race row with the whole of Scotland, pretty much. Have you seen his speech that he gave in the Parliament? He's just like, he's saying... white, you know, listing all these dignitaries and, mm-hmm. you know, officials and stuff that are white. But Scotland's, like, at the last census, is 96% white. So you're going to have quite a lot of white people in, you know, the average job roles.
Well, how would you fill them without, like, you know, like, how... Well, you've got 4% of Scotland, like, running everything,
yeah.
in Hamza's view.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I like the fact that he's come to the Edward Longshanks position on Scotland. Trouble of Scotland is full of Scots. Based Hamza Yusuf, I agree with you. No, I'm joking. See, but you know, this, just saying.
Yeah. Well, it goes against my personal experience, because my we've broken up now, but my ex girlfriend. So she's a Scottish Muslim. Well, formerly Muslim. Mm-hmm. And so she's, like, ethnically sort of Afghan, Indian, and also Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually changed her LinkedIn profile picture to look more ethnic, to enhance her, make her ethnicity more obvious, because she's like, this is going to help me get a job.
Oh, really?
So, maybe nurseries are filtering the other way, but certainly some places, you know, the perception is that, you know, they're filtering a different way.
But what I like about this is that at no point Hamza Yusuf thinks, maybe it's me. You know, maybe it's not that they hate, like, you know, but Muslims or something.
Would they know it was him?
Well, the surname's Yusuf. You know, I mean, it's not like Hamza and his wife aren't famous.
Yeah, yeah. So, they did apply under their own name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, given that he's, you know, he's quite famous in Scotland and not universally liked.
Really? That's hard to believe.
It could be a factor.
So yeah, his wife Nadia applied for a place for their daughter Amal in September 2020, and they were told there's no available spaces. And then just 3 hours later, she asked her friend to email about a space for her son, who is also two, same age. And the friend was told to fill in a form so the nursery could check availability, despite Nadia being told there were no spaces at present. So we don't actually know that they have spaces. Hmm. They were just told, we'll check the availability. Right. I don't know what the response was. Hmm. But they assume that, I mean, you know, like, because I can completely conceive of a sort of bureaucratic mix-up here. So basically, Hamza applies and gets the response back because, you know, person A fills out these forms, checks the thing, oh no, we have got no spaces for that. Right, sorry, I haven't got any spaces. And then the email comes through to person B. And person B's just automatically like, yeah, we'll check availability. And then at some point during, you know, late in the next day or something, they're then checking, doubtless, you know, send email back. But Hamza seems to have jumped in the middle of the process of checking the availability and going, ha, you're doing this because I'm Muslim.
Yeah, yeah. And this is some people are incredibly quick to ascribe racism as a motive, where it could just be a mission or, you
although
know,
I might like, be say, wrong here because actually apparently a white Scottish friend of theirs also put in an application for the child of the same age, and within 24 hours of refusing our application, my wife's friends was accepted.
Right.
It
does actually sound like we've got a racist nursery here. It really does.
It does sound
like... Yeah, I'm on Hamza's side with this one. I mean, I never thought I'd say that, but it does just sound like...
Hamza, you're being oppressed by that nursery. Yeah. That racist nursery is oppressing you. I agree. You need to do something about it. It's probably run by white people. So I was sure there must be a rational explanation, but my wife felt differently. She created a profile with a white Scott name and made an application, and she also asked her sister to do the same. Her sister was rejected, but the white Scott application was accepted. Mm. Wow, racist nurseries in Scotland. He added, I cannot tell you how angry I am. So imagine he's been stomping around his house all day, fuming about this. Mm.
So is he going to tell us how angry he is?
No.
Why doesn't he just tell us how angry he is?
No, I would like to have known, actually, but I just don't know. I mean, presumably he was quite
I'm guessing he's angry, very angry. But yeah, I mean, that's a horrible... I mean, I can't imagine what that would feel like to happen, especially to your children. I think that's a really, you know, that would really, like, sting. So, that's terrible if it, you know...
I mean, I'm not... We haven't heard from the nursery on this yet.
Like, it's 2021. We don't need to hear the other side.
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
We can just jump to the conclusion.
Exactly. And I think we should... In fact, hang on, we do have a statement from the spokesperson of the nursery, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. They came out and said, yeah, no, we hate brown people. No, they didn't say that. Wow, weird. Our nursery is extremely... it's weird. That's what I was expecting. Our nursery is... the way that Hamza Yusuf is feuding with a nursery. Our nursery is extremely proud of being open and inclusive to all, and any claim that the contrary is demonstrably false and an accusation we would refute in the strongest possible terms. In addition to our owners being of Asian heritage, the owners of the nursery, across more than a decade, we have regularly welcomed both children and staff from a range of different cultural, ethnic and racial backgrounds, including two Muslim families currently. We also made arrangements to accommodate those different lifestyles by, for example, providing halal menu for children who come from Muslim families. Right, so... If it is a case of racism, it's not being done by the white people because it's owned by Asian people.
It's owned by Asian people?
Yes.
Oh my God, well that's a twist.
Mm.
That is a twist.
Mm.
So
where do you go from there, Hamza? Yeah,
did Hamza know that before? Oh,
I guess not.
This suddenly. Yeah, I'm right behind you, Hamza. Yeah. You take these racists down. I don't think he was expecting that, was he?
No, I wasn't expecting that. You know, I'd only skimmed over this because it was a bit of a hurry.
I mean, it does raise an issue. I mean, obviously, I still think it's terrible. You know, depending on what the actual motive was, but I mean, if they genuinely, you know, did discriminate against his children based on ethnicity or cultural background or whatever, that's appalling. But I mean, it raises an issue because I've noticed white people are terrified of being perceived as racist.
Oh yes.
Whereas people who aren't as white feel a bit freer to be, you know, to show their discrimination on their sleeve. I mean, the guy who cuts my hair, I go to this Turkish barber in, I better not say where because he might be identified.
Yeah, you don't want to get in trouble.
But man, he came to this country like 30 years ago and now is viciously racist against anybody who came like a day after him.
I used to live above a restaurant called Jewel and the Crown, and I remember speaking to the owner, like this is like decades ago now, but I remember speaking to the owner and basically I'd never heard anyone be so much against immigration. He's like, these immigrants are terrible. You've got no standards anymore. You know, I had to work really hard to come into this country and you're just letting these people in. They need to be deported. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, bloody hell.
I mean, people generally do work quite hard to get into the UK. Absolutely. You've got to, you know, like we're surrounded by water. So you've got to, you know, get on something that floats. I mean, it's almost like we're sort of, it's a self-selection process for a really good Olympic team.
Yeah. but that was the point, though. He was just so annoyed that, like, you know, we used to have standards and we've just abandoned them. And so now, in his opinion, it was like the dregs of other civilizations. And he was like, don't let these people in. You know, they're not like the sort of people you want. You know, I came here and worked and, you know, built a business and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was totally sympathetic to that position. I really was. But anyway, yeah. So Hamza Yusuf being oppressed by Asians in Scotland.
Yeah. What a twist.
Mm.
That is, yeah. I mean, do you feel that really? It's sort of like how my friend Darius, so he's Iranian, and when he sees a news story about, you know, a bomb or a terrorist attack or something, he feels relief when it's not a Muslim. You know what I mean? And I feel the same thing when there's an example of racism. I feel this relief when it's, oh, it's not white people. You know what I mean? Like with the World Cup, when all the people were complaining about racist tweets and the racist graffiti on Marcus Rashford's mural. And then it turned out that the graffiti wasn't racist. And the majority of the tweets came from outside the country. I felt like, you know, a burden left off me.
To be honest with you, I'm at the point where it's like, look, they're going to call us racist no matter what we do.
Yeah.
You know, that's literally their stock in trade, and they've decided that our entire civilization is racist to the roots. So it's like, I mean, I just... I expect it. Yeah. I can't imagine what they'd call us if not racist.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
this point, so
and it really like it galls me when they you know criticize you know European culture and European civilization.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously, we had you know colonization of the world, and you know terrible things were done, but. I mean, there's incredibly good things as well, and nobody ever, you know, recognizes or celebrates the you know the good that we did in like fermenting, you know, democratic processes and courts and you know technological progress,
abolishing slavery.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty, you know, if you want to talk about like you know what the net good for people of color around the world has been, the abolition of slavery, I would say, is pretty high up there.
Yeah,
but that's only because I think slavery's bad.
Yeah,
if that's okay. I don't know if that's actually a racist position anymore. I don't know.
And there's more slavery in the world now than there was at the height of the transatlantic slave trade. And all the woke people could do something about it. They could get on a Ryanair flight to Libya and go and like try and shut down, like wave their placards and their you know gay pride flags and like slave markets in Libya.
Yep,
no, but they don't. Instead, they're like, oh no, this guy was born 400 years ago is racist. We're going to tear down his statue. Yep. It's like, why don't you do something about it now?
Mm.
Instead of tweeting about it on your iPhone that was made by slaves in China. I mean, China's treatment of the Uyghur Muslims completely ignored by the woke left, by the progressives, and an absolute, you know, catastrophe, a complete blot on, you know, current human conscience. It's, you know, it's borderline genocide. It's been described by the United States as genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly, I mean, it's certainly appalling, you know, the internment, the sort of, the rape and breeding out you know, and the complete cultural... you know the
obliteration of that,
of
that's that's not new policy for the sort of you know the Chinese either.
Yeah,
they've got this policy of kind of like genetic imperialism.
Yeah,
But yeah, I mean, like you know, yet again another socialist genocide is underway, and no one can say anything about it because everyone's scared of China. It's like, okay, great.
Yeah,
you know, I guess we'll just be permissive of it. But anyway, right, let's move on to the video comments. So these aren't going to be very useful for you, I suppose, because they're from subscribers who are going to be talking about things we talked about last week. Right. So feel free to comment though if anything interesting comes up.
Work to live, not work to death.
I mean, I guess. Moving on.
Hi guys, just subscribed, currently on a short camping trip out in the God's Green countryside of the Derbyshire Dales.
Yeah, that looks nice.
I think more people should go out camping. You learn something about the quintessential core nature of whatever country you're in. Gives you a bit of truth to it.
Did he film this on a camcorder from like 1994?
Hopefully send in a couple more of these.
Yes, but...
I feel like I'm watching You've Been Framed from like 30 years ago.
That's a good point,
But no, that's great. He's camping out in the countryside.
Mm.
Great that he's enjoying it.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Right, let's go for the next one.
Carl, you advocate that we should have the right to bear arms and... obviously use it to defend ourselves from tyranny and from the government. But have you bought yourself a crossbow yet?
I mean, he's got a point. I haven't got a crossbow.
Slightly scary. Although with the right to bear arms stuff, so my dad's a gunsmith.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, he used to have a gun that's banned in America, but legal in the UK.
What's
so it's mounted on a boat. This is how big this thing was. It's called a punt gun,
right?
And it used to be
Is this the elephant gun stuff?
No. So this is it used to be done commercially in the UK. And my dad was sort of keeping the, I guess, the tradition or the you know keeping the knowledge alive. There's just you know very few people around the country that still do it. So it's a huge big gun, and you mount it on this punt that's very low in the water, and you go out with the estuary, go out with the tide to where all the geese and ducks are on the water.
Right.
And you bang on the bottom of the boat, and they all fly up, and then you fire this thing. The boat shoots back in the water. I've seen it done. It's incredible to see. And then you get, you know, 20, you know, 30 ducks or geese, and then you sell
it. So it's just
a
giant shotgun, basically.
Yeah, like, you know, before the days when, you know, ducks and geese were farmed, this was one of the ways of getting them for market. And there's a lot of skill involved in it, because it's a very... shallow, like a low in the water boat, so it's very easy, you know, to get things wrong with the tide. If you're going out and then coming back in with the tide, it can be dangerous. Punt gunners die, and also with sea ice that can, you know, overwhelm the boat and stuff. But yeah, that the gun was banned in the US.
That's
even though there can, you know, people consider there you can get anything.
You can get tanks in the US.
Yeah. Remember that guy went in the Rampage?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what a hero, you know. Anyway, are we talking about the chap who the killdozer guy?
Yeah.
That wasn't actually a tank, was it? It was a.
All right. There's another one where he hijacked. I think he might have been serving in the army, and he hijacked a tank.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm not aware.
He finally managed to, like, you know, and he went around. I think it was Los Angeles or somewhere. Drove around for ages, driving over cars. Finally got stuck on like a central reservation or
something.
Right. And they, you know, managed to pop the hatch. They got a can opener or something.
I should hope that Dank has done a Mad Lads on that, because that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Right, okay, let's get to the next one.
It's my understanding that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, or whatever the hell you say it, my understanding is that they can't approve those as therapeutics for COVID, because the way FDA regulations work in our dumb bureaucratic government is if there's a therapeutic, they can't give emergency authorization to the vaccine. So in order to get the vaccines approved quicker, to get people vaccinated quicker, they could not allow ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine to be accepted as a treatment for COVID. So basically, blame the bureaucracy.
I didn't know that, but I certainly am happy to blame bureaucracy for all of our problems.
So, Carl, in regards to the Holocaust Memorial, I like the idea of a giant golden statue of Winston Churchill. However, you need to face him towards Germany and then have him perpetually swinging his pendulous balls just back and forth all day.
Yeah, presumably flicking the V's.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just the...
Well, it's interesting. Remember when there's the BLM protest last year, mm-hmm. and, you know, people came out to protect Churchill's statue and the war memorials and stuff. And people were like, oh, those guys are Nazis. And it's like, I think they'd be protecting a different war memorial.
Why
like,
would
literally...
they be... Why would they be protecting the Churchill statue if they were Nazis?
The guy who defeated Nazism.
It's so ridiculous. But did you see the Holocaust Memorial that is doubtless going to be produced for London? Why? We didn't commit a Holocaust.
Right.
But they want like a memorial in London. And literally the artist was to remind us of what we did. Literally those words. I said, we didn't do it.
Yeah, we stopped it.
Yeah. And we were happy to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like really weird that now we have to take on German guilt.
Right.
I mean, if
right.
there's one thing I think we should be free of, it's German guilt. You know, I mean, haven't we done enough bad things of our own? So it'd be like, you know, I don't know. But anyway, next one.
Hi, Carl. I wanted to offer a suggestion/challenge to have a debate or a discussion with Stéphane Molyneux on the topic of child discipline. I perceive that your perspectives on this are very different, and I'm curious how that conversation would turn out, because it seems that both of you are different from the 60s way of doing things, but you're still different from one another.
Well, I'll see if I can get in contact with him and organize that. As I understand it, Stéphane Molyneux, he's an advocate of peaceful parenting.
Right.
But to be honest with you, I agree with that. You know,
I mean, if
I had to smack my kids, I would, but I never have need to.
Right.
So, you know, like, because, you know, I just reason with them or just tell them to go to their rooms or something, you know. So, yeah. Have you got kids?
No, I don't have kids. Yeah. I remember my mum, like, picking me up off the ground with one arm and, like, whacking me in the middle of a shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was being a dick.
Yeah, because you had it coming, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, my dad had smacked me when I was young, but I always knew I had it coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was never arbitrary. But I mean, I've not.
Yeah, I think it can cause it's more likely to cause problems if it's, like, just arbitrary. Like, the parents, like, you know, got some sort of, you know, comes home angry and just wants to take it out, you know, download it on the child. I think that's terrible.
That's obviously abuse.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's not discipline, is it?
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, like, I haven't got a particular problem with it if it's applied correctly, but I just never feel the need to use it.
Yeah.
Because thankfully I've got a loud enough voice and I'm scary. anyway, let's get to the next one.
I'm confused why you're confused that socialists in Britain feel responsible for what socialists in Germany did to the Jews when you complain about how socialists in Britain want to do to the British what the socialists in Germany did to the Jews. They have a guilty conscience.
It's got a good point. It's a good point.
What it is?
The Holocaust Memorial.
This is what he's talking about.
Yeah, when the leftists are like, well, we've got to talk about what we did. That's them saying Nazis were left wing.
Right.
Good point.
Right.
Because I, being a right winger, don't consider myself to be in any way an ally of the Nazis.
Yeah,
but I mean,
yeah.
I never call myself a socialist. And if all these people are calling themselves socialists, they're looking at the National Socialists in Germany going, well, that was us.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how
weird admission.
These tendencies, you know, echo through time. So, and quite often the people who consider themselves to be the most tolerant and woke and progressive are the most intolerant and the ones, you know, singling out people and groups for censure. I noticed with the, so NASA are gonna rename a telescope. It's the James Webb Telescope, and it's named after.
What did James Webb do?
So he's an astronomer who in the 40s was involved in the Lavender Scare. So they were basically persecuting, and you know, canceling gay people.
Right.
And so, you know, he's criticized for that. But that was the law at the time. You know, homophobia was written into law at the time. Oh, yeah. So it was the moral. James Webb was being morally correct for the time, and obviously our morals have developed and changed.
He was being politically correct, wasn't he?
He was being politically correct, and now, you know, we've got all these woke progressives who are now, you know, attacking people and cancelling them because they're, you know,
and it's all in law.
They're
as
not
well.
Matching the belief process or whatever. So the belief system or values or whatever. So I think we should look at like what people are doing rather than, you know, trying to be moral absolutists. Mm. And if people, if you know, if you're in a mob and you're canceling someone, you know, maybe you should think, am I the problem? Am I the bad guy?
Would I have been lynching the black guy who was accused by the white woman of raping him back in the 20s?
I have been going after, you know, communists in Hollywood or, you know, gay people?
That would have been fine. But
yeah, well, that's the thing. Everybody says McCarthy is witch hunt. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. McCarthy kind of had a noble ideal. You
but
know?
He was also right. You know, it came out like decades later. Yeah, they were all communists. Right. And they were all, like, there were a bunch of Soviet agents as well. But anyway, you know, like exactly the same people who are witch hunters in each generation. Well, this is our generation's witch hunters, you know. So, don't be a witch hunter,
anyway, just because you're doing it with Twitter instead of, you know, a church service and some gallows.
Exactly, it doesn't make it any better. But, right, let's go for the next one.
Okay.
Come on, Craig.
I believe in you.
Well, I'll be... Craig, I will be impressed when you identify as a woman and win an Olympic medal.
Yeah.
Let's give the next one.
That was good, Craig. You should do more.
Yes.
While Carl, for the most part, is correct that lifting 20 kilograms above your head isn't too difficult to build up to, there's a part of a video which I said I would have to edit out where I gently load it down for 2 minutes. Ooh. And there's a reason why ballet dancers are so physically fit, because lifting weight into the air and gently lowering it down very slowly is kind of difficult, which is where the real man test comes from. But I'll still respect you if you can at least lift 20 kilograms above your head. The lowering down part, though, the real challenge.
Mm. I can definitely lift more than 20 kilograms above my head.
What, in each hand?
Oh, yeah.
So more than 20 kilograms in each hand?
I think so. I think I can lift
them. What do you mean you think? Have you done it?
Well, I
think I could batter Bruce Lee, but I've never done it. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure my son weighs more than 20 kilograms, and I have to just like hoist him up every night when I take him up to bed. For some reason, he wants me to carry him up. I was like, how do you want me to carry him? So I'll put my hand out, he'll grab onto it, and I have to just lift him straight off the air and then carry him up the stairs.
Right,
so I'm actually quite confident that I can do it, but if John wants to bring in some weight sometime, we'll give it a try.
Yeah.
We'll film it. It's fine. We will do something. Let's go for the next one.
So just like how Carl was reading all the critical race theory books, last year I was watching so much media at 2x speed. However, that required my ears, and I needed something to do with my hands. So as you can see, there's a lot of pent-up frustration.
That's great.
And Spider-Man.
Just nerds.
Oh, amazing, the ISS.
But I'm not showing the White House one.
Oh, yeah, don't show us the White House one. You don't want a visit from the FBI. Look, I don't know why we've suddenly inspired a bunch of fitness people to send us videos, but okay, go on then.
I like it.
No more keto crusades or anime recommendations. It's time to work out.
Oh, that's impressive.
Saido Cesto.
Whoa.
Okay, there's no way I could do that.
Look at that dismount.
Yeah, yeah.
Has this guy got a spear?
My fellow men, there is no reason to have a makeshift spear when you can buy a 7-foot boar spear on Amazon for 90 bucks.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Turns out the makeshift spears are illegal.
Really?
Apparently,
but you can buy them off Amazon. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's forming a Roman wall.
All I'm saying is I'm down with this. This is the kind of comments I like.
Yeah.
Crossbows legal, spears illegal. Weird.
Yeah. But not guns.
But not, not guns.
In the UK, what do y'all plan on doing when they come to your homes?
Capitulating, probably. What are options?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're trying to... You've still got the opportunity to refuse it. And I hope people will still have the opportunity to refuse it, because it's not the same as being sort of compelled to wear a face mask. It's,
yeah.
It's a surgical intervention. You're having, you know, something injected into your body.
Yeah.
That, you know, for all that it's been tested and it's been through, you know, stage three trials or whatever, you know, it's, I don't, like, I don't want to say anything that's going to get YouTube to take down, but it's certainly, you know, I can understand why people are wary.
I just can't stand the philosophy of it, because if you transposed it to anything else, it'd sound like rape.
Yeah, or, you know, if you said, like Lawrence Fox came up with the great analogy of, you know, where's it going to end? You know, is the government going to demand one of your kidneys because you only need one? You know, we've moved the sort of the window of acceptable, you know, medical coercion over. And we've moved, you know, a lot of the windows over in terms of individual rights. Lockdown has shown that, you know, we prefer the illusion of safety to freedom, and, you know, our rights around freedom to worship what religion we want, to associate with who we want, to go where we want, to, you know, to gather in groups. All these like hard won rights have sort of just been blown up in smoke. And if you look at the UN Charter of Human Rights, it doesn't say, oh, and by the way, these don't count if there's a flu.
Yeah, these don't count if the government gets scared of a disease.
Yeah, they're just immutable and, you know, it's...
Well, they used to be. They used to be immutable until everyone decided, actually, no, they're not, you know? But that's the point, isn't it, about the vaccines? It's just like, look, you know, I'm sure that what you're saying about the vaccine is completely safe and that it won't hurt and that it's good for me, but these are all lines I've used in nightclubs and I was occasionally successful, but the point is I didn't have the right to force someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, my body, my choice. Yeah. If I don't want whatever your thing is going into my body, I should have the right to refuse that.
Yeah, and they're offering, you know, they're bribing people now, coercing them with... Yeah,
again,
like,
all stuff I did in nightclubs, you know.
Free kebabs and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, would you do that? You know, would they do that outside abortion clinics? Would they be happy with pro-lifers being like, oh, you'll get, you know, a year's supply of Domino's pizza if you keep the baby?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
that's quite a persuasive argument.
Although, on the other hand, I'm happy for everybody to get vaccinated, and because then, you know, I can we can all get back to work and do comedy, because comedy is dependent on everybody packing in,
being able to go to a location.
But I
just can't stand the fact that they're just sat there going, okay, we're at 90% vaccination now, that's not good enough.
Like,
God, just leave people alone.
Pretty much I mean, you can see where the cases are dropping now, even though everybody's, you know, out you know, meeting and licking each other's armpits, so
the deaths are virtually nil.
Yeah,
so it's like, right, okay, you won, take the win.
Yeah,
you know? But anyway, let's go for the next one.
Hey, I just thought I'd ask a question, show my walk a little bit, my dog Izuki. Why do you think people live in cities? I think it's... Why? I've spoken to a few of them. I don't get their argument. They think they're trapped. I don't think they're trapped. You have a lovely day. Hope you enjoy your Monday.
So why do you think people live in cities?
This is interesting, because I've been thinking about this because I live in a city, and, you know, I've lived in London for like 15 years now. Blimey. And I grew up in the countryside, but I've always lived in cities. I lived in Vancouver, in Edinburgh, in London. And I mean, I love living in a city, but you can't buy a house, especially if you're a comedian. You can buy a house if you're like, you know, a Saudi prince, or, you know, you're a
stockbroker. Russian oligarch,
Everyone else has to live in a horrible rented flat.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're a normal person. And I've been thinking, you know, do I need to be in a city? But then everything that I want to do, like, sort of happens in a city. All the comedy clubs, like last night, I did top secret comedy in Covent Garden. And sometimes, you know, you get the call, you know, are you in the area? You know, can you get here in 20 minutes? We've had a dropout or whatever, which I wouldn't be able to do if I lived outside.
That's
but then I stayed in Chesham for a bit, which is, you know, outside London, and you can still get in on the tube.
Mm.
And I thought, man, this is amazing. I'm out in there's trees and fields
and
all the rest of
it.
Yeah. So, and I feel much more relaxed in the countryside, because I grew up in the countryside. So, yeah, like, you live in the...
I live in like the sort of very outskirts of Swindon, so I mean, I can just walk out of my door and walk over a small hill, and then I'm in fields and forests. And, you know, there are rivers and streams and stuff, and it's beautiful. You know, and I'm at the time of my life now. I mean, I've never lived in like a major city. I went to university in Coventry, which is a city, but it wasn't like too bad. And I was young, so it was fine. But you couldn't pay me to live in London now.
Yeah,
there is no amount of money that would persuade me to raise my children in London.
£2 billion pounds.
No, not doing it. Not doing it.
It'd believe you.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. No way.
£200 billion
What's the difference between 100 billion and 2 billion? You know, like
100 times more.
Yeah, but I've like just zeros now on my bank statement. But like, I hate the environment. I hate the sort of the feeling is claustrophobic to me. Right, you know, I like in London, you can hardly see the sky sometimes, and you just like there are all these people around. And the thing is, like, if it was like people whose language I could understand, maybe that would be different, right? But even then, I still wouldn't like it. But like,
I know Cockneys, like, you know, it can be difficult to understand.
Well, there
the
are
same,
no Cockneys but... left in London. That's the thing, you know.
Well, it is interesting, man. If Cockneys were like an Amazonian tribe,
yeah,
then you know, the fact that they've been displaced and they've had to, you know, move
the
to
left
Essex,
would be all over
the left
them.
Would be all over it, and yeah, be like, oh, we need to preserve their authentic Cockney culture and their jelly deals and pie and mash and stuff. But you know, because they're white working class.
Exactly. You know. And so, but I wouldn't live in a big city anyway, but especially not London, because London just feels like this kind of staging post for people around the world. You know, that people come, they work for a few years in London, and they just leave.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's become like this like weird global colony. It's like,
But I do love it as well. And it's not as expensive as people say. I mean, it can be really expensive, but you can also, you know, there's places you can go and eat and drink that aren't that expensive. They're called Wetherspoons. I love them.
Yeah, we've got a few around here, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever we've actually got Wetherspoons just around the corner. And when Andy Ngo came to visit, I was like, yeah, so you've come from America. Welcome to a Wetherspoons.
Is that equivalent of like a Denny's diner, I guess?
It's worse, I think. Yeah. Anyway, next one.
People protect the law, not the other way around. We live in a society, and that is what the law actually protects. What does it mean when someone commits a crime and is not being punished? Does the law still exist? What when the same occurs with an authority figure like the police or an elected official? What if it happens countless times? Does the law still exist? What if it happens on a giant scale with someone that is supposed to symbolize supreme authority? Does the law still exist? At what point does society begin to crumble?
That's a good
question.
That's
quite bleak.
Yeah. and there is no direct point either. Yeah. You can't draw an arbitrary line. But
I worked in criminal intelligence for years. I was a criminal intelligence analyst and managed the criminal intelligence unit. And the thinking around crime moved from like it's done by bad people to it's opportunities. Environment, you know, allows it to happen. And there's quite a swathe of the population who'd be who'd nick a, you know, a bag out of an Amazon truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some that would be seen as a sort of slightly victimless crime. That would do it if they get given the opportunity. So by removing the opportunity, then you stop the crime mm-hmm. happening. Which I think is a sort of healthier way to look at it.
See,
a more pragmatic way.
It is a more pragmatic way, but I do think that there is a sort of push, again, by left-wing activists to essentially say that criminals aren't bad people. And it's like, yeah, but a lot of them really are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I think it's okay for us to say that.
And working with the police, you see a side of the society that you're not exposed to most of the time. And it's really kind of sickening. And to see people, like when I worked in Haringey, so there's a guy who was actually pimping his own daughter out.
Oh my god!
To get money for drugs, and
we're not allowed to call that guy a bad person.
Well, I think even like the most ardent woke leftist, you know, regardless of what pronouns that guy had, or you know how many flags he had in his Twitter bio, would say, yeah, no, he's a scumbag.
I don't know. I bet you're gonna find a constituency on Twitter that will defend him.
Or find a way to blame like patriarchalism or you know
society
systemic racism.
Made him do it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like yeah, I'm sure society did.
Yeah,
it's awful. Yes, go for the next one.
There's no jab, no job situation. I feel like it's likely going to happen here. Now, I haven't been vaccinated, but I need my job. I need to pay my mortgage. The government knows this. That's why they're doing it. Solicitors won't do anything because the law doesn't matter anymore. The general public would probably rather you be unemployed than unvaccinated at this point, even though we're the selfish ones. But from a more personal view, I feel like I would have betrayed myself. I'm not one for bending the knee, especially when it comes to the government. But again, I need my job. What's your advice?
Well, I'm assuming he's in a Spandau Ballet tribute band.
Oh, that, don't insult our subscribers.
I respect anybody who like can wear a mullet in 2021. Yeah. He raises a really good point. Like, I mean, this is where the coercion becomes too much. If people have to have a vaccine to do their jobs, and also it's bad for the people. If you're in a, because I'm assuming it's a lot of the sort of care workers and, and people like that who will be sort of compelled to have vaccines because they're working with vulnerable people. So if they leave the job because of that, then the people that they're caring for, you know, suffer. And also, you know, if we're at 90% vaccination and also natural immunity, I mean, I think we're way higher than that if you include natural immunity as well. Like, come on, do we really need to be pushing it to like 100%?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Now it starts sounding like authoritarianism. Now it's not, you know, you guys aren't really that concerned about the coronavirus because that's pretty much over now. You know, the government statistics are public for everyone to see. Can we get today's coronavirus dashboard up, please? Just so we can show everyone just exactly what we're talking about. Because we're not like, you know, being like hyperbolic or anything. Just the first
one.
There we go. So not people vaccinated, but just daily deaths and things like that, cases and deaths.
Yeah, we've seen nearly 90% have had the first dose.
Yeah, there we go. And sort of
and
like,
yeah, look at the.
You know, it's like really, you know, patients admitted low. You know, everything's low. We've got 110,000 beds in the NHS. And it's like 6,000 of them are occupied by coronavirus patients.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what they're for, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, thank God.
And
the
vaccine doesn't do much to stop you catching and spreading the virus, but it does do
prevent
a lot
you from
to mitigate
ill.
The bad symptoms and stop you getting sick and dying.
Yeah.
So a care worker who's vaccinated could still transmit coronavirus to the people they're caring for. So yeah, I'm. You know, it doesn't sit well with me compelling people to get vaccinated.
I can't stand
for their
it.
Job.
It just strikes me as just tyranny.
But do we have a solution for this guy?
Well, no, frankly. I don't have a good answer. That's the thing.
Maybe you can get fake things on the internet.
Yeah, maybe.
Or you can just like with the mask thing. Because I didn't wear a mask. Not because, you know, I'm opposed to it or anything. It's just every time I get it out of my pocket, my car keys come out. You know, it was a hassle. So I didn't wear a mask and I just said I was exempt. And and then everybody's like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know,
that's a good point.
You sort of feel bad for saying it.
Yeah, maybe say that you have a sort of, you know, heart condition or something that means you're susceptible to getting blood clots or something like that.
Yeah.
So it ties in with it because there is a small risk of blood clots with the vaccine and stuff. So say something like that and say, oh, I'm exempt because I'm at high risk for blood clots. And they'll be, oh, well, you know, because what can they say?
What can
they say to that? You know, and so maybe that's a good idea. I might try that myself, actually. So, right. Okay. Was that the end of the video comments? Great. We've got a couple more comments.
And also, I respect the mullet.
Yes. And anyone who's got a moustache as well. These things are deeply out of fashion. My dad used to have a mullet and moustache in the 70s.
It's interesting, isn't it? I remember in the 80s when I was, or no, it would be the early 90s when I was at school, there was a craze in the school. All the boys got mullets. Mm-hmm. So we'd spiky at the front and like, you know, long at the back. And I mean, it was we looked terrible.
Of course.
Looked ridiculous. But that was the craze that was going around the school then. Now the craze is to like transition and also get loads of facial tattoos. Oh. And those are things that are not as reversible as a mullet.
Yeah, for us it was like undercuts. You know, do you remember, like you get like shaved and then you'd have curtains hanging over it?
Yeah.
Why? Why did we do this? I have no idea. But but like you say, it's a bit more reversible than transgendering and whatnot. But anyway, got a couple of just comments. We don't do super chats, we just do comments off the thing. Geordie says, I played with my sister and her My Little Ponies when I was young too, and I'm starting basic training with the army soon. Just because I that didn't mean I was freaking trans, and I'm glad the cult wasn't so strong as it is back then. Will the Impaler says, Laurel Hubbard is truly stunning and brave. It takes some balls to stand up to the TERFs.
Heyo!
Very nice. I'm honestly surprised that the Olympics didn't invite the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus to sing that they're coming for our children. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, literally, if you wanted to really undermine your own cause, say, yeah, we're coming for your kids. You're not. So anyway, let's move on to the next section. So for the DaBaby stuff, we've got a couple of comments. I can see the adverts. Did you watch the Madonna video in the 80s? So if so, you may have a claim. Call Maclydia McClaim now. Omar says, always amusing watching celebs hit the wall and then surreptitiously try to pull up the ladder behind them. I think the glass ceiling might have been built by bitter older women. It's just got a male glaze.
Ooh.
So Omar always gives us really sharp comments.
Yeah, man, that's good.
Yeah, he's spot on.
That is pithy.
But that's exactly it, isn't it? Like, you know, you spent your entire career sexualizing yourself, and now you're going to whine about the male gaze now that you're at the end of your career.
I thought you were talking about me there for
a moment. Well, yeah, and you and Madonna. You know, and it's just such a slap in the face, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you know, being sexy is one of the things that young women have to their advantage. You know, I don't blame them for using it.
Yeah.
You know, if I was a sexier woman, I'd do the same thing. You know, why not? But anyway.
Identify as one.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely identify as one, but everyone's a bigot and won't treat me like I need an OnlyFans. Northamptonian Knight says, wouldn't it be an awful lot quicker if Hamza Yusuf just made a list of things he doesn't feel oppressed by?
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
The nursery turned down Hamza's applications because it's Hamza freaking Yusuf, not because of white privilege or any other race-baiting nonsense. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, imagine if it is anti-Muslim animus, but imagine if it's coming from, say, a Hindu Indian or something like that. It's like, okay, great. What do we say?
Yeah.
You know, oh God, what do we do? Are they white supremacists now? Well, possibly, actually.
Well, that is the argument some people would say. They'd say they've you know, colonialist Western society has forced the racism onto them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's basically. Right. Fine. We'll go for one more. Finally, a co-host who can definitely beat Carl in a fight. Well, I mean, I guess that's a challenge now, isn't it? Thank you, Joseph. Now I've got to have a fight with our guest just to prove. Right, well, thank you everyone for joining us. If you'd like more content from us, where can people find you, by the way, Leo?
Oh, so I'm on YouTube. My YouTube channel does quite well. It's Leo Kearse, KEARSE. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to find my stuff and you can't spell my name, then Instagram's a good one to find me on because it's Scottish Comedian. All one word.
Right, okay.
I couldn't believe it was available either.
No, I'm shocked, actually.
It's amazing. You know what I mean? Scottish Comedian.
Yeah. Like you're the only one or something.
Yeah, really? Yeah, Christ. The original.
Yeah, okay, well, okay. So definitely follow Leo on social media because obviously he does loads of stuff. And you were on GB News recently, weren't you?
Yeah, this morning. Hey. Yeah. And Saturday. I might as well just take a sleeping bag in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love being on GB News. I was on the Andrew Doyle show on Saturday.
Oh, he's great.
He's just so smart. He just like sometimes I'll feel that something's wrong. I'll know it's wrong, but I can't articulate why it's wrong. And he's just ping, 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 and like, you know, works it all out.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Anyway, and if you'd like more from us, of course, you can go to loadseas.com, sign up, become a patron, and get access to all of our premium content, which I promise is the best content on the internet because I made it. Anyway, speak to you tomorrow, folks.